So we're four panelists today, and we're all trying to address different aspects of tool development for CHW program strengthening. So first of all, neither myself nor my colleague have any relationships to DECLARE. This is moving by itself again. But I do want to declare that the panelists know each other, and we have thought this through, and we decided that this would be a really good way to use our time to help you understand what other tools are out there that could strengthen programs. And you'll be hearing more about that in the next three presentations, where there'll be talk about research and program management and another assessment tool. So we're going to be looking at three different aspects: program design and scale-up, program functionality, and knowledge management and dissemination. The very first tool is called the decision-making tool for scale-up, and it's basically an assessment tool, although there are elements of functionality. The second tool is the community health worker assessment and improvement matrix, CHW AIM, and that focuses mostly on functionality, but also has some elements of assessment. And finally, there's a dissemination tool called CHW Central, and that is our website, which we'll talk about more. So again, these programs were mostly developed for developing countries, but I think there's a lot of relevance to what's happening here in the United States. They can be adapted. So the decision-making tool is a relatively new tool. It's been put up on K4Health only in the last month. It's a tool to help decision-making for national, scaling up national programs. It was developed under USAID HCI project and the USAID Assist project. It's mostly used by national and subnational decision-makers, policymakers, and program managers. So it was developed through first a literature review and then a key informant interview with managers, ministry representatives, and some NGO representatives. And the key points was to find out what should be looked at when you're making decisions about scaling up a CHW program. So there's five key steps: assessment, implementation, health system support, performance support, and planning for sustainability. And within each one of those steps are the key issues that you should be looking at as you think through national scale-up. One of the issues in developing countries is there's many scattered programs, and so there's sometimes a fragmented approach to delivering service. So the idea of having a national strategy for scale-up is important to strengthen the impact that the programs can have. So under assessment, you would look at country context, number of and distribution of CHWs, and the CHW role. Under implementation, you'd be more looking at recruitment and training. Under health system support, the issues of program management, monitoring and evaluation, financing are critical. Under performance support, supervision and feedback, incentives, and community linkages. And finally, under sustainability, we're looking at succession planning and scaling up and retention. I think many of these elements are the same elements that you also look at domestically, and you also see these elements going through several of our other tools. How does it work? The tool allows you to think through, or helps you to think through, planning, scale-up, and evaluation. It helps you to decide who should be part of that process, making those decisions about scale-up. It prevents examples from other countries showing how and why decisions were made towards scale-up, and also contains links to other tools that you could use to assist decision-making. And so that tool is relatively new. We don't have a lot of examples to give you of how it's been working, but it will be doing more and more with the tool over the coming months, and you can find it on K4Health. The second tool is a community health worker assessment and improvement matrix, also known as CHW AIM. And it's basically a framework to guide program functionality assessment, which is a really key aspect of understanding where are you and where do you want to go in your programs. And it also leads to action planning that guides improvement. It's been used by the Ministry of Health, international organizations, and NGOs. And the reason this tool came to be was in 2008. Either I'm talking too slow or the slides are going too fast. In 2008, USAID wanted to know how many CHWs were actually working in sub-Saharan Africa. And it, because it wanted to add 100,000 additional CHWs, and PEPFAR wanted to add 140,000 CHWs. And so they wanted to know how many there already existed. But it, upon reflection, it became clear it's not really the numbers we want to be looking at, but it's the functionality of the program. And that's what led to CHW AIM. It was created starting in about 2009 through a literature search to determine what people have already identified as the elements of functionality, because that was key. How do you, what is functionality? You can't really assess unless you understand what you're looking for. And over time, the tool grew from 8 elements to finally 15 elements. And the definition of functionality was defined and redefined. There was a matrix developed to assist assessment, and there are also intervention lists to help organizations look how they're doing on certain interventions against national standards. Then it was tested and used and finally published in 2011. But in the last 2 years, the results and feedback that we've gotten has helped us to edit and revise the final tool, which is now on our website, which we'll talk about later. The tool is a safe, self-contained tool. It has everything you need in order to conduct this assessment. So that means it has a form to help you select participants. There's a scoring sheet. There's action planning guidance. There's also a validation questionnaire. The matrices that I mentioned before are here. We have one for maternal and child health, HIV and AIDS, and TB. And again, they detail very well how the national government is looking at these tasks. And then you can look at your program across their tasks and determine which ones you might want to add or what you might want to change in the way you provide services. And finally, it has a facilitator's guide, resources, and there's also a training guide. So what are the elements? I mean, that's the key factor here. There are 15 elements divided out over 4 components. So there's the human resource management, which looks at what is the CHW role, is there an opportunity for advancement, it looks at evaluation, and it looks at recruitment. Under support, it's looking at supply chain management, incentives, and community involvement. Under capacity building, it's initial and continuing training, supervision, and program evaluation. In terms of links, it's looking at information management, referral, linkages to the health system, and also country ownership. It was determined through working with USAID that all 15 of these are critical for program functionality. How does it work? So I'm just going to give you an example of incentives, not because it's the most interesting, but it fits best on the screen. So all of our elements start with a definition, a full definition. So for incentives, the definition is a balanced incentive package that includes financial incentives such as salary and bonuses and non-financial incentives like training and recognition that are appropriate to the job expectations. So that definition is then broken down operationally at the bottom where you can see it's spread out over 4 levels. The first level would tell you, for example, that the program has no financial or non-financial incentives provided. If you go up all the way to number 4, which is the best practices, it gives you a clear idea of what you're looking for in your program. It provides both financial and non-financial incentives in line with expectations placed on CHWs. It links incentive to performance, and it ensures the community has some role in recognizing CHWs by giving gifts or rewards. The 4 levels, also known as 1, 2, 3, and 4, help you to determine the score. So they're linked to the definition that you eventually choose to say this is where our organization sits. And if you're a 2, maybe when you think about improvement, you want to get to number 3. So what are some of the steps you can take to do that? It also has a guidance for resources that you could use, finding them within the organization itself. And the process is the most exciting part of the assessment. It's hard to envision it right here, but the people who participate cover all levels of the organization, from CHWs to supervisors to managers. It can also include clients, stakeholders that like the ministry or donors. And they come together to look at those 15 elements. So that if it's a small group, they could all sit together. If it's a larger group, they sit in small groups. And they look at those elements and discuss where they think they sit on those 4 levels. And each one of them individually scores that decision. Like, what do they think? Are we at level 1 or are we at level 3? And they use that, as you can see in this picture, to then come to consensus. If we all have a different opinion on what the score is, then how do we determine what the final score is? So here they're putting their scores up, and they'll review them, and they'll try to come to a decision on where they think they are. And for many of these organizations, it's the first time that a group of this organization has come together to discuss these things. CHW certainly hadn't had a voice in these kinds of decisions in the programs before. So it's a very liberating kind of a process. The process, once you decide all your scores, is then moves towards the next step, which is to develop an improvement plan and to appoint a manager to oversee everything in the action plan. The scores can be validated by going out to the field and actually talking to CHWs in different districts and getting their sense of what's happening. If you find that there's a discrepancy between the action plan they developed and what you've learned in the field, there's time for a discussion and consensus on revisions. So the results from 19 programs are shown here, and I don't think it's a surprise that what people best understand is recruitment and international training. They understand the continuing training doesn't score as well as initial training. And the areas that are most difficult are those that have to do with linkages to the country, linkages to the health system, opportunity for advancement, and performance evaluation. And again, I would imagine you face some of the same issues here in the United States. So what we find is that assessment is a little simpler than improvement. So when this was done the first few times, it became very clear that there was a gap. Where are those resources that will help organizations move up the ladder, continue to improve? And they weren't there in any one dedicated spot. And that is how CHW Central came to be. It started by looking at those 15 elements that we described before and trying to find all the resources, best practice, and tools that are already dealing with those 15 elements. And the website looks like this. It's not the latest edition, but it provides those resources not only now about the 15 elements, but about all areas of CHWs, both domestic and global. So the first tab says about CHW Central, and there you would find how the website actually works, but also who our technical advisory group is. There are some members right here in the audience and at the table. It then has resources. Those resources are tools, best practices, research, policy, success stories. We welcome people who have ideas about what they want to put up on the website, and we help them to design it so that it fits into the context of the website. This particular one you can see under featured content, which is the major part of the website. This session was on distance learning. How does it help workers conduct training? And it explains what distance learning is. The web right now, what's up there is using videos for training CHWs on newborn care complications. So we tend to look for topical areas and help the organizations to put up something that you would all want to read. There's also a part, ask a question, which we're trying to encourage people to put questions forward about technical areas and get responses not just from us but from other members of the site. There's also an archives which would list all of the past feature content and by month and by year. And then the partners. We have a number of US-based and international partners, and our latest partner is actually PIH. Thank you. And we also have a section on what's new, telling you what some of the events coming up are related to CHWs. So the initial website was launched in 2011 under the USAID Healthcare Improvement Project. It was relaunched in 2013 as an independent site, and during that whole time, Initiatives, Inc. has been managing the site. We have 18 partners and are still growing. We have over 250 resources, and since coming to APHA, we have 1,300 members. And we average about 1,000 visitors a month. These are some past topics, incentives and motivation, the integrated community case management, which was put there by UNICEF. We have the 1 Million campaign, which is from the Earth Institute, and the importance of CHWs, which was actually written by Noelle Wiggins, whom some of you know. So we look for a variety of topics to put in here. So who are our members? We have members, 46% coming from the NGO world, 13% from academia, and about 8% from both USAID and government and ministry. We have representation from every continent, and we realize we have a very diverse member base, and what we're trying to do is learn more about what their interests are, so we've enlarged our registration so we can understand more about that, and we're trying to tailor information to them. So basically what I hope I've presented is that there are tools out there that can really help us in terms of improving the way CHWs can provide services in communities by going through things like assessment and the functionality tool and using the CHW website. These are some references about other organizations that are working in the same area. It covers human resources for health, advocacy from the frontline health workers, scale up from the 1 Million health workers, .org, and also a new one on principles of practice, which is trying to provide common standards for CHW programs. So in all, I hope you join CHW Central and help us to build it. And I thank you very much.